today I'm going to read you from a gospel lesson from the 21st chapter of Matthew, verses 16 through 20. It begins, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them, 'I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age.'" Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer, shall we? Gracious God, as we sit here full of your mission, we ask that you continue to guide our hearts. In these moments when many things are coming to an end and there's new life, that is part of being a disciple. The changes that come along the way and the importantness of friendships that have been built, we ask that you just be a part of our lives as we continue to grow in your love and understanding here in your kingdom on earth. Amen. I have this little story to tell about last Sunday before I get into my sermon. I was driving with one of my pastor friends, Pastor Rob Kopp, and we were heading over to Giants Mountain to do some mountain biking down the big hill, riding up and going down. And we were in the Hibbing area, Grand Rapids Hibbing area, on the way down 169. And I start looking around and I go, boy, look at all these cars at all these churches. And Rob looks at me, he goes, Greg, it's Sunday. Didn't even dawn on me that it was Sunday. I thought it was funnier, I'm sorry. It was funny in the car, I guess. Or is it just that, no, that's fine. Well, the truth is I've been with you for a little less than 9 years. I've stood in front of you and sometimes with some sarcasm, sometimes with internal pain, sometimes full of joy, sometimes not feeling like it that day. As a church, we've gone through a lot together. Many changes have taken place and we have grown. And I mean grown like and unlike any other church in the Minnesota Annual Conference. We have baptized, we have buried, and through it all, yes, even a pandemic, we are still here. I really don't remember my first Sunday, but I'm sure it was rough. It is very stressful, and the nerves, wow. And now we get to all do it again. Truth be told, I knew very little about this congregation or this area of the state, and honestly, all I really thought about was this, would I be accepted? Because this being accepted thing was nothing new. In my younger years, being accepted wasn't easy. Switching schools a few times, having to make new friends, never an easy thing. But I digress. But this church was searching. This church wanted to change. This church wanted to grow. And so we all got together and set a vision, which was this. Anybody remember our vision for the church? To meet people where they are with the love of Christ. That was the mission this church set. And you all went for it. And you put the old behind. And honestly, this church is totally a different church than it was 9 years ago. And we have been through a lot together. Santa Day, the community breakfast, those who help with the food shelf, those who water the plants downtown, those who keep the church functioning behind the curtain, going unnoticed. All of you take pride in the ownership of this church and this congregation, and boy has it changed. And boy have you and I changed. And I must say this, it is truly the work of God, it is truly the work of the Holy Spirit, and it is the work that all of you have done because of your discipleship as a follower of Christ. And I don't know what your future holds. I know there are plenty of people who are sad, but here's another thing that I know. From the very first sermon I ever preached here, way before I ever became your pastor, any of you remember that? Probably not. Here's what I preached on: that change is hard. I even sang that Sunday. But it is necessary. And it brings new life and brings abundant life. And that is good news. Because of followers as of Christ, we get to experience that new life with so many. Each one of us here, we are offered this great opportunity to be like Christ to one another, to be like Christ to those who perhaps have never experienced the true meaning of what God's unconditional love is like. Those who are marginalized, those who are abused, those who are lonely, those whose life might be heading down the wrong path. But each one of us here have gotten to sow some seeds of love, and we have gotten to sow them in the lives of others. And we have done it just so we can hopefully see some small difference in the world. And that memory of that love, for some, it might be the only thing that saves someone from going down that wrong path. Friends, that is the basis of discipleship. That is what we do. That is what you will continue to do. Today in our gospel lesson from Matthew, we have Christ. And we have 11 of his original disciples. They are reunited once again. We are well into Jesus' time on earth after his resurrection. This is why there are only 11 disciples. Because we all know what happened to Judas. He betrayed Jesus. But before he did, Jesus did offer him bread and wine and even washed his feet. And because of that, Jesus showed us how we are to treat one another, even those who do us harm. But not just that, he gave us the best example possible of God's greatest plan for humanity, even with the disciples he picked. Honestly, I truly believe that Jesus gave us the perfect model for how all this works. Let me explain. Look at the people Jesus chose to be his disciples. Now, think of those 12 people. Who would have been any different than those 12? We had Matthew, right? What was his vocation? He was a tax collector. He overcharged Peter and Andrew. He did the same with James and John. And he did it every time those blue-collared fishermen went to pay their taxes in Capernaum. They hated him. And what about Simon the Zealot? He wanted to overthrow the Roman government. Yes, the same one that Matthew worked for. Do you think they would have gone down to Bricks or to the spot for dinner after Sabbath worship? How in the world do you pull this diverse group of people together, men, women? And that is another thing, just bringing in the women and making them a part of this whole thing. What Jesus did with this group, it was so different than anything that had ever happened before. And honestly, today, the only way we could get a group together like this would be at a funeral. They would never have joined together for anything in the world, let alone give their lives to live together for 3 years during Jesus' ministry. And the only thing that held them all together was this, was that they believed in Jesus. And I am here to tell you this, that when you read through the Gospels, that when you study them, it tells us time and time again this, that Jesus was enough. that Jesus was enough to hold them together, that Jesus was enough to change them, that Jesus was enough to send them out under the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, they turned this world upside down. And I pray to God to let it happen again with us here. Moving out, moving forward, not because we need to agree on everything, because we need to agree on one thing, one person, because we believe in Jesus. If you go through the history of the Christian church, there is one thing that you can see, that Christians have never agreed on everything. And that's okay. Because we can see how the world has been changed through those same Christians. All because we stayed focused together on Jesus and not on our differences. And that tells me that from God's viewpoint, diversity is capacity. And that is a good thing. And one of the keys to the puzzle of life is learning not to just get along with those who think and do things different than us, but rather appreciate, admire, and most of all, love those who are different. So I say, let's celebrate our differences. Let's allow this polarized world to see a miracle happening in the church. And let's make that miracle a part of what they want to be. In Revelation 7, we get this beautiful picture of what heaven is like. Here's what it says. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." My truth is this. I wish every local church looked as diverse as this. And even if we can't look this diverse, perhaps we can elicit some kind of inclusivity, one where we put aside all the differences and say this: Jesus is enough. That Jesus is all that matters. That our differences pale in comparison to the great salvation, the great Savior and friends we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. At the end of our gospel lesson from Matthew 28 today, here is simply what is happening. Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples. But before he does, he gives them something. We can call it their marching orders, also known as this, the Great Commission. A commission is an instruction or a command given to a person or a group of people tasked with accomplishing a certain mission. It's right in the name, right? Mission, co-mission. And I think everyone here knows that because it's been what I've been preaching on for 9 years, our mission as the church. And this mission comes from Jesus and is directed at his disciples. And the thing is this, if it wasn't just for the first 11, it was for all the disciples. Every age, every color, no matter gender. And the last time I checked, this pertains to each one of us here today. I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. That is what Jesus says. And he continues on with this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. There have been a lot of changes, as I've said, here at Motley United Methodist Church over the past 9 years. Believe it or not, our neighbors are constantly changing too. And because of that, our neighbors have a very different view on all kinds of things. But no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, everyone needs hope. Everyone needs salvation. And everyone needs the communion of saints. That is the church. And the church is meant to be made up of every kind of different person imaginable, all of them brought together by one thing, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can do this. Jesus gave us the perfect model for how all this works. If you are as blessed as I am, you meet some amazing people along the way. The respect I have for all of you, the things I've learned, the good times we've had together, the life experiences, doing ministry side by side has been priceless. You are all amazing people. You are all true disciples. I know God has great things in store for us all. I want you to know, I love you. Thanks for being you. For Motley, UMC, if you live into Jesus' great command and great commission, the best is yet to come. Please do it. Please do it. Because Jesus is enough. Amen.